When I was a child, and I'm talking through elementary, and I don't know when I stopped, but it was probably a lot later when I should have. I had two rituals before I went to bed that I had to do every night. I had to check my closet. I had to open it and look in there and make sure no one was in there. I wasn't armed. I don't know what I would have done if someone was in there, but my brain needed to know there was no one in that closet. The second thing I had to do was I had to get down on my knees at my bed and I had to pray. And here's the prayer that I prayed that I was taught. Maybe some of you know it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Now, the second part is probably why I had to pray it every night. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Somebody at an early age taught me you could go to bed and that's it, unless you say this prayer. So I had this in. I had to go through this. Now, this morning, we want to take a look at Jesus. And I don't know what his parents taught him as a prayer. Something tells me that wasn't it. But we do know this. Luke chapter 5. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often prayed. Jesus was a prayer. He was somebody who prayed. It just seemed to come from it. It was a priority for him. It was a top value for him. So this morning, we want to kind of look at a couple of things. First, we want to look at what did Jesus pray about and what can we learn from that? And then what did Jesus himself say about prayer? Let's begin by taking a look at Matthew chapter 4. Jesus he's been baptized, and now something is getting ready for his, what we call his earthly ministry. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. We can assume that during that time of fasting, Jesus was also praying, preparing himself for the temptations that were to come to him. So what did Jesus pray about? One of the things we see is that he prayed about spiritual battles. He prayed about spiritual battles beforehand. I believe he prayed afterward. And that's a great lesson for us as well. That you and I have spiritual battles. Now, we may not be fasting for 40 days. We may not be going out into the wilderness. But I bet there are temptations that come into your life. I bet there are doubts. There are questions. There is just that sense that something is off and you feel that there is a spiritual battle being waged. What do you do? Well, we can do what Jesus did and we can pray. Now, you'd like a great example of some of these prayers? Go to the Psalms. And you'll see, time after time, these prayers that we can see as spiritual battles, where David and others would lay out their frustrations, lay out their concerns. They would see themselves as, you know, there are enemies around, there are questions within. And what's he doing? Praying, praying, praying. And by the end of the psalm, you can see that there is often a resolution. And so when you're facing a spiritual battle, don't be afraid to go to God in prayer. Don't be afraid to pull out those psalms and use them as a guide, or just pray them out loud yourself. Just repeat these things so that you can have the strength. I could see that Jesus would have been using these psalms as a prayer guide for himself. If we go to chapter 6 in Luke, we read this. One day, soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. So Jesus is getting ready to draw out 12 from his disciples. There were probably hundreds around him at that time who would have said, yeah, I'm a disciple, so I'm going to pick 12. And how does he prepare for that decision? He prays. Jesus is praying about decisions that need to be made. Now, you would think he could have just said, hey, I'm Jesus. Whatever I come up with, that works, right? because I'm Jesus. But we know that Jesus, even though he is fully God and fully man, that God aspect, he emptied himself of that. He limited that. And so Jesus is not omnipresent. And we can even, I think, ascertain that he is not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. And so he needs to pray. And he needs to talk to the Father. Which of these are going to be the apostles? And so he's praying to God. And if Jesus needs to pray like that before a decision, how much more you and me to be praying when we have decisions to make? Even if we really think, oh, I already know the answer. What's wrong with us taking time before a decision, small, big, and just saying, God, is there something I need to see here? Is there something I need to know? Help me see things in your word that would instruct me and guide me and give me wisdom so I can make the right decision. Go a little further. We'll go back to the Gospel of Mark. We read this. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, at that point, you could think, Jesus might be saying, look at me and what I can do. Well, what does he do? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, we can assume that Jesus would pray before, and we see this many instances of Jesus preparing before he's ministering to people, but I think this is a very important one, that he prays after ministering to people. For those of us who are actively engaged in ministry on Sunday morning, you know, I find myself thinking, you know, I'm praying about it beforehand, but am I praying after? And usually, you know, my thing is, can we get to the Mexican restaurant before the Frasers? You know? we want there to be some chips left. Yeah. You know, so we're thinking, I've had a hard day working forever. Now it's time to go watch The Office on Netflix. You know, I just want to chill and relax a little bit. But if I follow Jesus' example, we can see that we should follow up our times of ministering to people with prayer. Because sometimes in ministering to people, sometimes you walk away and you think, wow, it was good. We had some prayer here, and I had a great conversation here, and I felt like I got a chance to encourage someone here. And you just feel like, wow, I did some good today. And you need to pray. Sometimes after ministering, people think, man, I've had that conversation with that person now 10 times, and nothing's changing, and I'm discouraged. I just wonder. Or you walk out of here, I know for myself, sometimes I think, well, that sermon, that killed. Then there's times like, wow, that thing fell right here and didn't go anywhere. And you need to pray, either way. And so praying before and praying after, ministering to people is something Jesus did, and it's something we should do as well. In John's gospel, we read this. Jesus is... It's getting close to the cross moment. He's not yet been arrested, but he has a prayer. And he says this, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Who's he praying for? He's praying for his followers. Those with him right then and there, those he saw eye to eye, had conversations with, that heard him teach, but he was also praying for the followers that would come from the gospel being preached in other areas and throughout time. So what does that mean? Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed for each one of you. When he's going to the cross, when he's preparing for that, he has you on his mind. We'll go a little bit further in the story. It says Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, and he knelt down and he prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus is praying a prayer of surrender. He is surrendering to the Father's will. Why? Jesus, fully God, fully man. That man part isn't looking forward to being beaten, spit on, cursed, nailed to a cross, and suffocating to death. He doesn't want that. Would you want that? I would not. He doesn't want, what I think he knows is coming is that by bringing all of the sin of the world on him, there will be distance between him and the Father. And he doesn't want to do it. And so there's a wrestling there. His will versus God's will. Folks, I imagine you and I have some of those same moments. We know what God's word says, but we don't like the implications. There's what we want versus what God wants. And we have to come to that point of surrender. How can we do that? We can pray. We can have this conversation with God. We can have a very honest conversation with God. Notice the honesty here. Jesus is saying exactly how he's feeling. I don't want to do this. And folks, you and I can do the same thing. We can tell God what we're thinking, what we're feeling. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to put on a mask. God already knows. So have an honest conversation with God in these moments of your will versus his. Then we go to the cross. It says, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals. One on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus taught that we are to love God, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family members, but he also taught us to love our enemies. And so Jesus is here praying for his persecutors. Now, a lot of people in that moment, you know, here is the one innocent man in all of time being put to death for a crime he did not commit. And instead of spitting curses back, instead of saying something, you just wait till I come back. I'm going to show you all. He has compassion on them. And folks, that's a good lesson for us to get right now. If you've been paying attention at all to the news, you know that more and more biblical teaching is not just becoming passé. It is seen as dangerous. Now, other countries have been experiencing this for a while, but we're starting to see more and more of it here. And how will we respond? We can take a look at Jesus here. And we can pray for those who would oppose us, who would speak against us, who would try to deter us in sharing the good news that comes with entering into the kingdom of heaven. Folks, we got to understand this. Washington, D.C. cannot save us from Washington, D.C. We have to become a people of prayer to face what is coming. So then what does Jesus teach us about prayer? Let's take a look at that. And let's go to the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus addresses this issue, and we get a few things here. Beginning in chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." They got seen. "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." What's he saying here? If we could just sum this up in a real simple thought here, it's this: keep it personal. Keep it personal. For the Jews at that time, prayer was one of three major righteous acts that you did. If you did these things, you would be seen as a righteous person. This is what righteous people did. They prayed, they gave alms, and they fasted. And because those were considered acts of righteousness, the attitude began to develop, you know, I want people to think of me as a righteous person. And if these are the three major indicators of my righteousness, I need to make sure people see me doing them. And so what happened was, rather than focusing on God in prayer or in fasting or even in giving of alms, instead of that, what happened is people began to focus and said, I want people to see me doing good. That's the most important thing. Not that I'm doing good, not that I'm connecting with my Father and living out the life of faith that he wants me to have. I'm being seen as a righteous person. And so Jesus is saying we need to keep this about the Father. This is not a prohibition in praying in public at all. In fact, we see Jesus pray in public. And in other scriptures, public prayer, somebody leading other people in prayer, was a part of a faith life. The problem is the being seen, doing it to be seen. So he says the antidote to that is to make it a very personal, private matter, to push back against that tendency to make sure you see me being righteous. So keep it about the personal relationship rather than your appearance. You can imagine you're going to have a conversation with your Father. And you say, you know what, I want people to know I'm having a conversation with my Father. So let me call everybody in, or let me get on my phone, or let me put this on social media so you can see. And then I can go, Dad, hey, how you doing? I'm having a conversation. I want a few of my friends here, and in fact, the whole world will see me having a conversation with you. Would you do that? No, that's about the dumbest thing in the world. Why don't you want to just go talk to your dad or your mom, whoever it is? So here's the thing. We're called to have a conversation with God through prayer. That's what we're doing. It's not a call to be seen. We wouldn't make people watch us have a conversation with our parents. In fact, we probably don't want anybody to watch us having a conversation with our parents. But if I keep it about the relationship, I'm keeping it where it belongs. Let's go a little bit further. He says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now there's a question, what's this babbling business about? Who was babbling? Well, the pagans, that the people at this time, Jesus' audience, the pagans they would have known would have been the Romans, who were occupying their country. And the Romans, when they prayed when they were making sacrifices. And you made a sacrifice and you prayed. And the whole reason was to get that God that you were sacrificing and praying to act on your behalf, to do something that you wanted, to give you something, get you something, make your crops grow, whatever it might be. And Jesus just kind of refers to this as kind of this babbling, because they had very specific formulas of words that when you did this prayer at this sacrifice, you had to follow these things. And sometimes if you got the words wrong, they'd have to start the whole thing all over again. It had to be very precise and just way. And Jesus is saying, that's not the relationship that you have with the Father. It's not your job to barter him, to cajole him, to manipulate him. You're just coming to your Father. And he says this, and this is what's interesting. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. These so-called gods that the Romans prayed to didn't know what anybody was going to ask until the prayer came up to them. They're like, oh. He says, your Father already knows. It begs the question, well, what am I praying for if he already knows, right? Well, if you're a parent or your child, you know this already. There's something about the conversation. It's about 5-6 o'clock in the evening. Suddenly you see the family start to gather around in the room. What do they need? It's dinner time, right? They need to be fed. You already know. But don't you love them and say, hey, what are we having for dinner? What are we doing? Can I help with that meal? Oh, I love it when you cook this. Oh, that's one of my favorite meals. Isn't there something about that? You already know. You could just go through it. Here you go. Here's the food. Remember, it's about the relationship that you're building and maintaining. So what's he telling us? He's saying, just keep it simple. Keep it simple. You don't have to talk God into something. Keep it about the relationship that you're called to have with him. And then we go into prayer that we prayed at the beginning of the service. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this is sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. You could use it as an outline of prompts of things to pray for, or you could just pray these words specifically. But here's what these words are telling us. Here's what this prayer is about. Here's why Jesus gives it to us, to keep it about God. That's where this prayer takes us. It's about his will, his provisions, his grace, his guidance, all those things that I ultimately need. It's about keeping my focus there. Keep it about God. We have been, through this series, we're inviting some people to come up to tell us about how they prayed. Last week we heard from Jake and what he learned, that something that helps him a different day of the week to pray something a little bit differently. And I shared with you about hearing about somebody who prays out loud to help them kind of just keep their mind from wandering. Well, this morning I want us to hear from Flavia Burrell about what she's learned about prayer. And my hope is that with these different voices you're going to hear, different people sharing, is not that oh, that's what I'm supposed to do now. But through this, maybe you'll hear something that really resonates with you, and you go, oh, that's what I've been missing. That's what I needed to hear so that I can have a consistent prayer life. So, Flavia.
Good morning. I heard from many great Bible scholars to start your day with prayer. They suggest getting up early before everybody's up, around 5 a.m. or so, and having a prayer time. I think that's a wonderful idea, but I'm not a morning person. So ask anyone. So therefore, I struggle to find specific time to pray around my busy schedule. So I ask God to help me have a prayer life. In the beginning, I wrote it in my calendar, Thursday mornings, prayer with Jesus. Those Thursday mornings were hard. I almost fell asleep. But then I noticed that without planning, I would start a conversation with God during the day while driving kids back and forth from school and practice. I would turn the music off and start praying. When I was cooking a meal, I would pray. Or when I sat through many, many soccer games, I would pray. My best prayers have been walking through the aisles at Kroger. So I learned that praying continuously during the day is what works for me. I learned that the best time to pray is now. Naturally, because I keep this line of communication open with God all day long, it became natural also to sit down with my Bible and have a more formal prayer time. I typically pray for my family, friends, and things that are in my mind. But some days it feels like a broken record, like I'm repeating myself over and over again. God already knows. So when that happens, I stop, and when I don't know what to pray for, I pray about it. So this past Tuesday morning-ish, I asked God, who should I pray for? And then I waited. Within seconds, I got a loud ping on my phone, and it was a message from a missionary across the globe asking for prayer for that exact moment. So I replied, great timing. I'm praying right now. So then I proceeded to write her a prayer. I wrote her a prayer back, and then she wrote me a prayer back, and we kept going back and forth for a while till I felt like she felt reassured and that somebody had heard her. So that's an awesome experience. When I first started praying, I just want you to know that I didn't know what to do. Most of my prayers up to that point had been memorized Catholic prayers in Portuguese. So I had no idea what to say. The first time I prayed aloud with a friend, I prayed in Portuguese. She didn't understand a word, but she indulged me. I learned how to pray by reading the prayers in the Bible, by using scriptures as prayers, and also by praying with other people. So now you should know, but when I don't know how to pray, guess what? I pray about it. There has been many hard situations in my life that I don't know how to pray, but by asking God how I should pray, it usually redirects me to His will and not my will. So as you can see, my prayer life is not as structured. I pray continuously all day long. It's more like a growing relationship with God. I don't see it as a task anymore. I'm still learning, and so can you.
Thank you, Flavia. You know, I love that thought of the best time to pray is right now. One of the things I've learned to do, and I encourage any of you can do this. You really can. Somebody tells you about a situation, circumstance, something that's going on there in your life. What's the typical response? Hey, I'll pray about that. So I have found, because I'm a pretty imperfect person, that if I don't pray right then, there's a good chance I'm turning into a liar if I say, hey, I'm going to pray about that later. So I pray right now. And you may see me sometimes in the foyer with folks. We'll just step aside. Hey, how are things going? I can just kind of tell maybe we need to have a conversation. And hey, let's pray right now about that. I was in Kroger 2 days ago. Ran into somebody. They told me their situation. Let's pray right now. Kroger can become church. We can pray. And I love this idea of learning to pray, that it's okay to grow in this. You don't have to get it all right now, but to just keep at it. And so that takes us to this next passage. Jesus said to his disciples, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are in bed, and I'm in bed, and I can't get up, and I can't give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. What's he referring to there? Just keep knocking on the door. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What's the lesson here? Keep praying. Just keep praying. If you got something on your heart, a situation, something that's going on, you think, I've been praying about this for a while, keep praying. If you're one of those people, you start your day out in prayer, God bless you. You're one of those early morning risers and you can just have that time, keep that up. And you can also keep praying through the day too. It doesn't have to be this one time, just one more, yep, checked it off, I got it done. Keep praying. Keep at this. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep talking. Keep listening. Just keep praying. So in that spirit right now, what we want to do, I just want to remind you, we are in this 30 days together of praying. And if you weren't here last week and you weren't able to get a prayer journal, grab one today. Don't worry and tell yourself, well, I'm a week behind. Why bother? Just keep praying. Start now and pray for 30 days. But what we want to do right now is just give a moment to pray. We're going to have the Lord's Prayer up on the screen. You can pray it. Maybe you've got something on your heart you want to pray and talk to God about. Just whatever it might be, just pray. And I'll let you have a few moments and then I'll pray aloud. And then we'll have a time of response. And if you want to come up and use it and pray some more, use these steps like an altar, we'll do that. Rob Ratliff will be up here to pray too if you just need someone to pray with you. Whatever it might be, I just encourage you, just give this time to God. And if you have a decision to make, just let us know what it is. So let's stand together. Actually, sit down. I don't know. I got ahead of myself. Just sit down. You just go ahead and take some time in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us to see that you are our Father. And that you are a good Father, a faithful Father, a graceful Father. And you want us to come to you like children. Trusting, knowing that you give good things. Father, prayer is sometimes hard. Being consistent, sticking with it, trusting you, knowing what to say, knowing how to pray, what to pray. It's a lot to learn. But we can learn it. And help us not to pursue prayer for prayer's sake, but to pursue you through prayer so that we might draw closer to you. Help us to learn from Jesus, from how he prayed, what he prayed about, and what he taught us about prayer. We give this time now to you, Father, as we sing this song. We recognize that we do need you. We need you every hour, every minute, every second. Help us see that we can find you in prayer. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.